listening to The Beauty of Our Weapons by M. Darusha Wayne. For more information, go to darusha.ca/weapons. Episode 7, Chapter 13. Dex had never been into Big Bad John's before, and it was easy to see why. He guessed that this place had been seedy when it was new, and it sure wasn't new anymore. The tables were few and rickety, the bar short and unpolished. The stage was just a somewhat uncluttered end of the barroom, set up with a mishmash of instruments. It smelled like old beer and human bodies. The clientele were surprisingly urbane for such a down-at-heel locale. Dex noticed plenty of trendy-looking people, all chatting with each other earnestly while sipping pints of watery-looking beer. They were probably the posters on the board Dex had been reading when he saw the listing for this place, but he didn't feel like insinuating himself into one of their conversations anymore. He'd had enough of that kind of talk with the woman the other day, and he didn't think that he'd really learn anything new anyway. He was just killing time before the band came on, so he pushed his way through the throng of people lining the bar to get a drink. After several more minutes than should have been strictly necessary, he got the barkeep's attention, and she grunted a surly acknowledgement when he asked for a beer. He waved his chip over the nearest reader when the pale yellow pint was sloshed toward him. He took a sip, grimaced, and turned around, directly running into the tall man standing behind him and spilling the majority of the pint down the other guy's front. "Hey, buddy, I'm sorry," Dex said into the guy's neck, then looked up and froze. It was Maxime Voronin, the person who'd once been Dex's closest friend. They hadn't seen or spoken to one another in decades. Dex and Max had been roommates back in the wild days, when they were trying to live outside the system. They were both musicians and played in a band in the local bars. There was a time when Dex thought they would make it, that together they could have a life that was more than just going into work every day at some dead-end job and wasting your off hours trying to forget about it. He thought they could make something beautiful out of the squats they lived in and the hustle they performed scrounging for food and rent money. Then, one day, Max decided that he was past it and was going to get a real job. A real job that came with a real apartment and a real life. A life that didn't include Dex anymore. Dex had a collection of vids from that time, the collection he hardly remembered ever watching but that he could never bring himself to delete. It didn't come up that often, but when he was reminded of his old life, his life with Max, Dex had this unshakable feeling that he was somehow stuck in the memories of that time. Only since he'd moved to Nice had he begun to free himself from the feeling that he'd lost something precious and could never hope to regain the kind of happiness he'd felt in those dank tenement apartments and seedy bars. "Andy?" Max said, astonished, when he recognized the man standing in front of him with his mouth gaping open. "Andy Dexter? Could it really be you?" Dex nodded dumbly, still unable to speak. "My God," Max said, clapping Dex on the shoulder. "How long has it been? And where have you been all this time? Christ, it's so good to see you," he babbled on as Dex felt the world swim just a little beneath his feet. "Are you with someone?" Max asked. Dex managed, wondering why such a personal question was coming out this early. "Here, I mean," Max said, indicating the bar with a sweep of his hand. "You with people?" Dex shook his head and Max grinned. "That's good luck," he said. "Me neither. Let's go find a seat and catch up." He put his arm around Dex's shoulder and led him off to a table away from the hubbub of the rest of the bar. Dex still hadn't managed to say a real word when they sat. "So," Max said after he took a pull on his cocktail, "what happened to your hair?" The banality of the question and its casual tone were classic Max, and it pulled Dex out of his stupor. He ran a hand over his closely cropped skull and said, "I've been a cue ball for ages now. I cut it just after you left, I guess." He looked at his old friend carefully and noticed that he'd changed as well. More, Dex suspected, than he himself had. Max had lines at the corner of his eyes now, and his skin seemed looser all over. And Dex thought he saw streaks of silver in Max's gold hair. It reminded Dex a little of how his friend Pat Malone had looked after the longevity magic in the food supplements finally wore off, but Max was no older than Dex himself, so it couldn't be that. Dex wondered if it were a new fashion. "It looks good," Max said. "Suits you." "Thanks," Dex said. "So," Max said after a long pull on his drink, "what did you do after I went off to join the rat race?" Dex took a sip of what was left of the terrible beer and said, "Well, Max, I did what I always did. I followed you." The other man frowned. "What do you mean?" he said. "I never saw you." I don't mean literally, Dex said. I didn't know where you'd gone, and I didn't go looking either. But I just followed your lead. He thought for a moment, remembering those days. The hurt, the betrayal, the loss of identity and direction. I didn't know what to do with myself, so I just did what you did. I know you planned to go get a job too, Max said, but you said you were going to look for something right, something you'd like. Yeah, Dex said. But once you were gone, I couldn't really see the point. The day after you left, I sold my mandolin and just abandoned the apartment, furniture and all. I went into the city, and I got a job. Jesus, Andy, Max said. Then what? Then what? What? Dex countered. You know the drill as well as I do. One job, then another job, maybe a promotion with a better apartment, repeat until you die. That's life. Dex wasn't about to tell his old friend about his career with the Cubicle Man, or his life now as a freelancer. For one thing, he didn't know anything about Max anymore. He could have made it up the ladder at one of the firms, and while Dex's organization was well known to everyone, including the corporate heads, it paid to be discreet. And, if he was really being honest with himself, he didn't want Max to know that his life had turned out well. He found sitting there, across from the one person whose absence had been an almost tangible part of most of Dex's life, that he wanted Max to feel bad. He wanted to twist the knife in a little and try to make his friend realize how painful those days had been. He wanted a little payback. Oh, hell, Andy, Max said, his face crumpling, and Dex felt momentarily pleased with his ability to wound, then immediately felt awful for making his old friend distressed. I'm so sorry, Max said, looking across the table earnestly at Dex. I made such a terrible mistake, and I really hope that you hadn't gone off and done the same thing. Dex was confused, but let the other man carry on. I only lasted a few months, Max explained. I thought I wanted the simplicity of a normal life, the ease of a regular paycheck and a company apartment. I thought it would be a kind of freedom, you know? Dex just shook his head. No more scrounging for food and cash, no more being stuck in the bad part of town. I thought we were just being kids, just deluding ourselves that things could be different. But then, after a few weeks of numbing work all day and nothing real to do outside of work, I knew I'd made a horrible mistake. Sure, I was well supplied with food bricks and synthwine. Sure, I could afford the fees for one of those immersion games in M-City to pass the time between shifts. But what kind of a life was that? So I went back to the old neighborhood. I went to the apartment, but you were gone. You remember Jenny from the band? Dex nodded. Well, her friend Elena was there. I guess she took the place over from you. Anyway, she didn't know where you'd gone. I went over to Milo's, you know, where we used to play. No one there had seen you either. You'd just disappeared. Jenny and I played a few sets together when I was on weekend, but it wasn't the same. Everyone knew I'd gone corporate, and I just felt like a tourist. And it wasn't the same without you. I quit playing and stayed away for a while. Tried to get back into the regular grind, you know? But I just couldn't do it. I felt like I was dying by tiny little increments every hour. Like every day I stayed there, I was losing myself a little more. So one day, I just walked away. I didn't quit or give notice. I just took the opposite train one morning. I didn't know where else to go, but Elena let me in. I stayed with her a long time, but that's another story. He took a deep breath and drained his glass. Looks like things have gone better for you, he said, hopefully. You're at least out and about with people, not sitting alone in a sterile corporate apartment every night. Dex smiled. It's okay, Dex said. Better now than it was, though, that's for sure. Oh? Max asked. I spent a lot of years like you described, Dex said. Only I never tried to do anything about it. I was lucky. I fell into a few things which made life bearable. He thought for a moment. No, that's not totally fair, he said. I lucked into a great gig that I did outside my regular job for a long time, he continued. And now I'm freelancing, and it's a tougher battle to make ends meet, but it's a better life for sure. He looked into his pint glass thoughtfully, but didn't drink. So, how did you manage on the outside all this time? Dex asked. Did you go back to music? Max laughed. There's still no money in music, Andy, he said. No, I spent some time grasping for anything I could get at the beginning. But when the baby came, I had to do better than that. So, I ended up running a bar down in Green Sector and learning virtual design on the side. You sure got around, Dex said. Hey, wait, did you say baby? Chapter 14. It's kind of complicated, Max said. They had each ordered another round of drinks. This time, Dex tried a rum and ginger, hoping for better quality than the beer. No shit, Dex agreed. People like us don't have children. I don't even think we could. That's what Elena and I thought too, Max said. You go your whole adult life, never once seeing a pregnant person or kids outside of a vid. You just assume things. I thought us lower classes were sterilized at birth or something. But it turns out that the contraceptives are in the food bricks, along with the rest of the nutrient cocktail that keeps you all young and handsome. How'd you figure that out? Dex asked. Once Elena got pregnant, which was a huge surprise, we puzzled it out eventually. Whoa, Dex said thoughtfully. I don't really know what to ask about first. It's okay, Max said. I've told the story a few times. I was working at a real food restaurant, he began. It was a fairly posh place, and I was a waiter there. The whole joint was about this nostalgia deal, so all the staff were humans, not a bot in the place. The pay was all right, nothing to get excited about, but the real upside was that you could take home all the leftovers. Food made from organic ingredients doesn't last like the bricks do, so they would just have to chuck it. It was enough of a perk that it turned any old job into a great catch. The staff were loyal and eager to please, as long as we had the food train to ride on. Anyway, I'd worked there for about a year when Elena started getting sick. We'd been living exclusively off the leavings from the restaurant the whole time. You know how scarce cash is when you're on your own, and there was no way we were paying for food when there was free stuff around. So neither of us had had a bite of the processed meals in months. We found out that if you stay off the bricks and special drinks for about 6 months, you lose the buildup of chemicals. Hardly anyone can afford to do that, of course, but we just happened to be in the right circumstance. So, I was fertile, and she was fertile, and it takes two fertile people to make a baby, and that's just what happened. She was starting to get big when we finally found a doctor who figured it out. By then it was getting late to do anything about it, and we'd started to think that a baby might just be the thing for us. Andrea was born a few months later, and everything changed for me, and for Elena. I can't even imagine how you did it, Dex said. Did you put her in school? Someplace like Forest Green? Dex remembered the huge institution where he'd met Max in his later years at the place. The kids lived and were trained there until they were 17 years old. Most never even saw their parents. Then they got an account with 100 euros and the advice to look for a job. Almost everyone took the advice immediately, but a handful, like Dex and Max, turned to the seedy side of town. It was tough, Max admitted. We didn't send her to school. We taught her ourselves, got friends to help. Everyone knows a lot about something, and with all the people in the neighborhood helping out, I think Andrea got a terrific education. How old is she now? Dex asked. Just turned 21, Max said proudly. She's a designer in M-City now. She's a million times better than I ever was, too. A real natural. She took to M-City like a fish to water. What kind of work does she do? Dex asked. Sims, mostly, Max said. Interactive vids, game spaces, some sex stuff. She's doing great. He sipped his drink. That's why I'm here, he said. Dex frowned. In this dive? He asked, waving a hand to encompass the bar. Max laughed. No, he said. Why, I'm here in Europa, in Nice. Oh. She lives here now, Max explained. The person who handles her contracts has a freelancer community here. You know, decent apartments you can pay cash for, access to a med facility, that sort of thing. He leaned in close to Dex. Can you imagine it? It's amazing what a few years have done. Back in our day, there was no chance of anything that good for us, no matter how much scratch we could have saved up. Now my little girl has a place as good as anything I ever would have earned at a corp job. She sent me the cost of the flight just so I could come and see it. That's not small change, Dex said, remembering the one trip he took to see Annabelle. Nope, Max said. But she's that kind of a kid. Besides, once Elena died, it was just the two of us. We're pretty close. Elena died? Dex asked. Max nodded sadly. It was a long time ago now. Andrea was only 14. I'm sorry, Dex said, fighting the urge to reach out to his old friend. In the old days, he would have put his hand on Max's arm, maybe even come around the table to embrace the man. Now, they weren't exactly strangers, but there was more than just time between them. She was too young, Max said, only a hint of emotion showing through his resolve. Though she was quite a bit older than me, as it turned out. That year off the food bricks did more than just get us knocked up. He smiled sadly. She had some kind of genetic condition you just never see anymore because of the pharma. It was triggered in that year, and when we got back to the supplements, it was too late. That's why you... Dex stopped himself from finishing the thought, but Max had guessed what he was going to say. "Yeah, that's why I look old," he said. "The aging I did can't be reversed. But they tell me it's just cosmetic, so who cares, right?" Dex grinned. "I think it looks pretty good, actually." "You always did like an older man," Max said archly, and Dex felt his face flush. "Well, that's me in a nutshell," he said, changing the subject. "What have you been doing in the last decades? And what are you doing here, anyway?" Max had been so candid about his life, Dex felt like a heel for even thinking that he had to keep the truth about his own history from his old friend. He glossed over the early years working at terrible menial jobs, focusing instead on when he was recruited for the cubicle men. In his years living free with Elena and Andrea, Max had dealt with many members of the street team, and had only positive things to say about the encounters. Dex told a few funny stories from his time on the street, then said, "It's kind of surprising that we never ran into each other. I was only on the goon squad a couple of years, but I was down in green and brown sectors all the time." Max frowned. "Sounds like you were walking the beat when Andrea was just a little kid. I was totally wrapped up in her back then. I tell you, weeks could go by when I didn't even leave the apartment. If it didn't have to do with her those days, I didn't know about it." Dex went on to describe his promotion to detective, and how he seemed to finally find his aptitude there. "Solving cases is kind of like picking out a really tough song," he said. "I can get totally lost in it for hours, and it seems like it's an impossible task. Then there's this incredible moment when all of a sudden it starts to come together, and it's beautiful." He flushed again when he heard how he was gushing. "I guess that sounds kind of stupid, huh?" "Not really," Max said. "The kind of stuff you see as a detective is pretty ugly at times, I bet." Dex nodded. "But figuring it out and getting some kind of resolution for someone, that is a wonderful thing. And what more could you want to do in this world than try to turn ugliness into something a little more beautiful?" Dex laughed. "They should get you to write our recruiting slogans," he joked. "So what else?" Max said. "Is there anyone special in your life?" Dex was getting tired of feeling his face get hot, so he ignored the sensation. "Actually, yes," he said. "We work together at the organization. She's a cracker." "Like, she's a hot little pistol?" Max asked, grinning. "Or she screws around with programs?" Dex laughed. "Both, actually," he said. "I'm really lucky." Max smiled and reached across the table to take Dex's hand. The intimate touch, after so long sitting across from each other, brought back a flood of memories, and he felt his breath catch. Max squeezed his hand and looked earnestly into his eyes. "I'm happy for you," he said. "You deserve someone wonderful. You always did. I'm just sorry it took so long for it to happen." Dex slowly pulled his hand away, and with trembling fingers, brought his drink up to his lips. He downed the glass, managing to blink away the wetness in his eyes as he did so. When he put the glass down, Max was leaning back in his seat and looking toward the makeshift stage area. "I'm staying with Andrea while I'm here," he non-sequitured, "and she finally kicked me out of the house so she could get some work done. I saw on a local board that these guys were playing, and I figured it would be a great way to kill a few hours. I've heard them virtually a few times, and they're pretty great. Have you heard them before?" Dex shook his head. "I had no idea what I was getting into," he said as they both sat back to listen to the band. "No idea at all." You've been listening to The Beauty of Our Weapons by M. Darusha Wayne. For more information about this and the other Anderson Dexter stories, please visit darusha.ca/dex. The theme music is First We Take Manhattan, performed by Donovan Alex and Yoko Rocks. More information at soundcloud.com/donovan-alex. Thanks for listening.